giorno all'improvviso mi innamorai di te. Il cuore mi batteva, non chiedermi perché. Il tempo che è passato, ma sono ancora qua. E oggi come allora, difendo la città.
Benvenuti and ciao ragazzi and welcome to our third Summer of Sempre show, where Kenny and I take a break from the onslaught of the World Cup to bring you some much needed Napoli perspective. On this week's show, we'll cast an eye over the World Cup so far and talk a little about how our representatives have fared. We'll talk over a couple of new signings as the club prepare to embark on the Ancelotti era. We'll round up any snippets of Napoli news that we've come across, and then we'll round off today's show with an Ask Sempre special. So without further ado, let's get into this. Kenny, how's things, mate? Are you enjoying the World Cup as much as Diego Maradona is?
Maybe not as much as Diego, but I am definitely enjoying it. I think it's been, I think it's surpassed a lot of my expectations of what I thought would happen for this World Cup. It's been pretty entertaining as a neutral watching it. I'm sure it's been stressful for a lot of the people, you know, cheering on certain teams, but I think overall it's been a very entertaining tournament at the very least.
No, definitely. It's been better than the last few anyway. I mean, the one that sticks in my mind as being the most disappointing in recent times, I think, was the South Africa one. Was it 2010? It was just a really, really poor tournament. So it's been quite entertaining. The Portugal-Spain game, I think, was the first kind of really entertaining game we've had. But the knockout stages have been rather exciting, as one of our former strikers decided to knock out the other half of the GOAT argument. See, both Messi and Ronaldo are gone, Cavani remains, and James is happy. not quite as lucky for our Polish boys then. So Milik and Zielinski, Poland only the one win, and that came, it was a 1-0 win over Japan. They lost to Colombia and Senegal in the group stages, and they've kind of disappointed. I really did think there was going to be more. I was really looking forward to seeing Milik and Zielinski kind of tear it up across there, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I think they're going to go down as one of the, I mean, obviously Germany is going to be the biggest disappointment of the World Cup, but I don't think Poland is too far behind, to be honest. You know, I think a lot of expectations coming in. Lewandowski is, you know, arguably one of the best strikers in the world, and you know, we have our boys there, Milik and Zielinski, and you know, Milik played the first game and then pretty much was a spectator for the rest of it, and Zielinski seemed like he was doing pretty well, but Poland just couldn't put it together. They really couldn't get anything going offensively. You know, they couldn't do anything as far as scoring goals, and it ended up being a pretty difficult group to advance out of, you know, with this whole FIFA fair play points deciding Japan over knocking out one of our other boys in Koulibaly. So it's a very tough group.
No, that was heartbreaking for Koulibaly to go out on, was it bookings it came down to because of the record was identical. I mean, that's, at the same time, what else are they meant to go on if the records are identical? But it does sound a bit ridiculous that you're going out of the World Cup because you had more bookings than somebody else. But I think for us, the good thing is to see these guys coming back without any knocks.
Yep.
My disdain for international football, as much as I have enjoyed this World Cup, it remains 100% intact. So just great to see the boys coming back without any major injuries. Although we do have one bright, shining light, Neapolitan light in the quarterfinals, and it is the wee man himself, Dries Mertens. I think before this World Cup started, they were my pick as the dark horse. I think Belgium have got a really great squad, a lot of great individual players. The one thing, and I think we've spoken about it on the Sempre chat as well, Kenny, is that the one worry for Belgium is the fact that their manager doesn't quite seem to know where to play these guys. I mean, De Bruyne, I think, against England was a holding midfielder. He's got Dries and Eden Hazard playing as like almost a front two behind a focal striker and Lukaku. Very strange formation. Doesn't seem to be getting anywhere near the best out of Dries, although the goal he scored against Panama in the group stage.
Unbelievable goal.
Well, at the time he scored it, I did walk into work quite smug the next day and said, you know, Napoli player has just scored the goal of the World Cup so far. But what a finish. And we know he's capable of that. But it would be quite nice to return from the season. And, you know, it's the number one Napoli podcast. And how many Calcio podcasts could there be after this that would have a World Cup winner in their squad? Hey, come on, we'll take it. But no, it's a long way to go, but it is great to see Dries representing us in the latter stages, and obviously because he is the one remaining Napoli player there, that's my team. I'm sticking with the Belgian boys, wishing them all the luck. Not rooting for England. Sorry to any of our English listeners. And it's not because I'm Scottish and bitter about the state of our international football. I just, you know... It's the media stuff that gets me over here, Kenny. It really is. I don't mind the team. I don't mind the manager. It's a bloody pundits.
Of course. I mean, I feel like every 4 years we get the England is going to be XYZ, and then when they go out, they sort of just say, well, we weren't really expecting much out of them anyway. So, you know, they're going to have their expectations very high now for the rest of the way. They're on the right side of the bracket to make a pretty deep run in this World Cup. So, you know, I was rooting for Colombia because I just have some friends who are Colombian, and I just in our chat, I think I've pretty much proclaimed my man love for James Rodriguez. So I was cheering them on, and to see them go out on penalties against England was a bummer. But I would like to see Belgium make a nice run. They will have a little bit of a tougher go, it looks like. You know, that side of the bracket is very difficult. So I think France has been probably the most impressive team in this tournament so far. I can't get behind Brazil, Neymar rolling around and all that. I mean, it's produced some pretty awesome memes, but, you know, I don't have the patience for some of that stuff. So I think it's cool that we're going to get some of these lesser, you know, plotted clubs or, well, nations into the latter stages of this World Cup. It's made it a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, for me, it was quite fitting that England did go through because the save that Jordan Pickford makes, and I know it's a bit kind of ironic that the equaliser came from the corner, which came from that save, which I said to you at the time, why does that happen? We've seen it so many times in various games. Goalkeeper makes an absolute worldie, goes out for the corner comes in, scrappy goal. You know, and the goalkeeper's like, we didn't bother. That was pointless. But no, it was good entertainment. I mean, I can't hate on England too much because my brother-in-law is from Manchester, so, you know, and he does listen. So, hi, Ian. But anyway, let's get back to the Napoli stuff. So the Sarri and Chelsea saga continues to rumble on. I cannot believe that we have been, 3 weeks away?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, yeah.
And we still have this whole to-and-fro nonsense with Sarri's contract. And I seen the headline that said, you know, the clause is now back in play. But obviously it's now expires, you know, summer next year. So ADL could ask for $150 million. And he's not going to ask for $150 million, but it's just like, he's just... And of course, that just triggered the Chelsea fans even more. I mean, some of the things that have been getting flung about, the words, and I know, you know, yourself from your personal account, Kenny, and obviously the Sempre account as well, have been kind of pulling up some of these terms, you know, we must release him. We're treating him like a prisoner, a hostage, holding him captive. Yeah. You know, it's like...
Yeah, a prisoner that makes 1.4 million euros a year. Get out of here. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah, I'm here. I'll do it.
lock me away. Throw away the key and pay me the 1.4 million.
Yeah.
Madness. I think you know, Chelsea fans need to get a bit of kind of perspective. I think a lot of them aren't realising, you know, the actual story. Maybe they're being, you know, brainwashed by what they read and hear in the UK and on fan forums. But the simple fact of the matter is that Maurizio Sarri's head was turned by Chelsea. He believed that Chelsea were going to meet the clause. ADL wanted him to stay. Sarri wouldn't commit either way. Ancelotti was prepared to come, so ADL has went, well, basically, fuck you. I'm not going to sit here and wait on your answer when I've got a world-class manager prepared to come in, so we'll move on and you'll go when someone, you know, meets the clause. And now Chelsea fans have this idea that simply because we've replaced Sarri that we should just free him and give him up. No, the clause is there that we are entitled to compensation. Replaced it's, or not.
It's unbelievable. The argument to me is just ridiculous. It's there's nothing to argue about. Y'all had the chance to activate the clause, sign him up. You had plenty of time after the season was gone. We signed up Ancelotti basically right after the season ended. So I gave them a couple weeks to get their act together. They wanted to play hardball, thinking that we would just somehow magically release him from his contract and they could just come waltzing into Chelsea. I just don't understand where the disconnect is. He's contracted to our club. We pay him. If you would like his services, our club would like compensation for it. It's as simple as that. There's no hostages. There's no prisoners. There's nothing. Just compensate the club for what our demands are if you really want him. And if you don't, too bad. You know, you have a manager on the book still, too. So get out of here with this nonsense.
And that's exactly it. That's the thing that gets me, is the fact that they're talking as if they don't have a manager. And while, you know, Antonio Conte may not be flavour of the month or year or universe or whatever you want to call it, with Napoli fans, you know, at the end of the day, that the man has a contract, he's manager of a club, and he's been completely disrespected by that support. And for me, that's just the Chelsea way. I think it's the modern day spoiled Chelsea support way where they just disregard managers. I mean, Sarri's the flavour of the month now. Conte arrived to the same fanfare 2 years ago. So yep. What is it going to be? Sarri out hashtags and, you know, just disregarding his contract whenever they move on to the next target that they deem should be brought in to take over. It's embarrassing. It just really is. It's just,
yeah, I think that, the fact, you know, Conte comes in, sorry to interrupt, in, he promptly wins a title,
mm-hmm.
and now all of a sudden he's, you know, the worst manager that they could be stuck with, and, you know, it's just a ridiculous situation.
Hmm. No, well, I know Alex Goldberg, and he does his videos and whatnot, and kind of has his Chelsea rants, and he's accused, you know, Conte of giving up and quitting on the club and stuff like that. But I mean, I've said this to Alex as well, both on Twitter and privately through direct message, that for me there's a problem in that dressing room. You can't go through that many managers and have that many egos clashing. I think, you know, either yourself or Rafa touched on it either a show or two ago, is that, you know, a guy like Conte walks in who has won things, guys like Mourinho who have won major trophies in so many different countries, and they struggle to maintain and hold the respect of that dressing room. And here we've got the former banker chain smoking, although, oh, hold on, he's going to vape apparently. If he goes to Chelsea, he's going to vape, apparently. You know, but if he goes in there with nothing behind him, are they guys going to respect him long term? You know, so...
Yeah, it's either a clubhouse or upper management issue, you know. That's the way I've always felt about Chelsea and the way they run through managers. It's either, you know, it's either Abramovich or someone the next level down, or it's the players themselves. But, I mean, you take a look at the last four or five managers that they've had in-house, and I mean, you're talking about a pretty star-studded lineup as far as managers are concerned. You know, Ancelotti, Conte, Mourinho, and, you know, and if Sarri goes, you know, you're talking about a lot of guys who are pretty darn good managers. So there's only one common denominator through all of this, and, you know, that's the club itself.
Mm-hmm. So another departure that looks as if it's finally also been confirmed, another one that we were talking about 3 weeks ago, is Jorginho, and it looks as if that €55 million, I believe, plus bonuses deal has been agreed, and the funds from that deal will immediately be used to pay the €30 million release clause for Real Betis' Fabian Ruiz, who's already had his medical. I believe there's a 5-year deal, €2.5 million a year on the salary. A great piece of business, I think. there's a lot of talk on Twitter, a lot of kind of negative stuff that, you know, maybe a lot of people underappreciating this guy. This is a very, very good midfielder, Kenny.
Yeah, I think that he's been very sort of, I mean, and I think a lot of it is he's a player that, you know, people who watch Serie A all the time and maybe don't watch that much La Liga, or, you know, just don't know the player very well. You know, he's a guy who can play in a bunch of different positions, and as we transition, you know, out of the sort of Saudi way with, you know, one formation and basically one set of 11 players at play, Ancelotti brings in a lot of variation and a lot of, you know, wiggle room and rotation and moving guys around in different formations and all that kind of stuff. And he's a type of midfielder that you can, he can play in a couple of different areas. And as he's come in, as he's about to come in from Betis, you know, he had his medical yesterday. The last thing I saw before we came on here to record is that the announcement for all three incoming signings will be some point tomorrow. So hopefully that's true. But last year is really the year that Fabian Ruiz really came onto the scene. He played a total of 34 matches last season for Betis. 29 as a central midfielder, 4 as a central attacking midfielder, and 1 as a left winger. 3 goals and 7 assists. He brings sort of a little bit of this flair that we don't have. He's also a very tall midfielder, which is something we don't have a lot of tall players. He's not an overly physical player, you know, as far as like, you know, he's not going to be a sort of battering ram in the midfield, but he's a bigger guy and he has 86%+ pass percentage. He has, I think maybe he was the 10th in La Liga for 2 successful dribbles a game. So he's got a little bit of that technical flair that I think maybe we don't have in the midfield. So if we go 4-2-3-1, which seems to be the highest rumored, you know, formation, him with someone who can play a little bit more in a defensive manner, sort of as, like Alan, would be probably a good matchup with him. He could also play as an attacking midfielder. If they go 4-3-3, he could sort of, you know, be a little bit of a swingman, taking that position that Hamsik was playing last season. So, you know, he's got a lot of variation and a lot of help, and he's just a player who's 22 years old, and I think Matteo Bonetti from BeIN Sports tweeted yesterday that regardless of what happens this transfer market, he thinks one of the best moves in this offseason will be Fabian to Napoli. So, and that's a guy that watches a little bit more La Liga than most of us. So I'll take him at that, but I think it's a really good signing. I'm personally really excited. I think that these are the types of moves that maybe 4 or 5 years ago we're not even in the running to make, and the rumors are that Ancelotti asked for Fabian specifically and he's being delivered. So that's a good thing to have, a start of a relationship with a manager and a club to get the first player that he sort of asked for. So that's pretty much all I got on Fabian, but I think he's a very good, useful player, and I think a lot of the people who might be a little skeptical will come around on him pretty quickly.
That's high praise indeed from Bonetti.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's, I haven't seen that. That's a hell of a, you know, a compliment to make. And as you said, he's someone who watches a hell of a lot more La Liga than most of us anyway. So that's interesting. I mean, I see what you're seeing, what you're saying about the kind of not so much a physical aspect. He's a very kind of gangly looking, you know, figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see him turning up for his medical with a shorts and t-shirt, and, you know, you look at him and you're thinking, looks more like a basketball player, you know, very, very lanky. But, you know, the stats there that you're given, you know, key dribbles as well. Someone, we don't have someone like that, someone who can burst forward from midfield, take on a man with a little bit of, you know, quick feet. So that's, again, adding something into the squad that we didn't maybe have last season. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see him play. And as for Jorginho leaving, you know, I think you and I have agreed that we've long accepted this. I don't think there's any, you know, kind of sadness or, you know, well, obviously we are sad to see him go, but you know what I mean? It's not as if we're sitting here, you know, grieving the fact, oh, I can't believe we've lost Jorginho. It's a case of, you know, we knew pretty much even before the season finished last year that Guardiola was going to make that move and he was going to want Jorginho to come in. So I think we've long accepted on here that he was gone. So we do wish him all the best. It'll be a bit strange.
Yeah.
you know, seeing him in the blue of Manchester City, especially here in the UK, whenever we've got the Premier League kind of rammed down our throats. I'm just hoping that, talking of TV channels, that BT Sport get their finger out and get the Serie A rights, because I did tweet Adam Summerton earlier on today and asked him if there's been any word on whether BT have renewed their rights on Serie A. And he said there's no news yet, but I do know that BT have taken up an option to get more Premier League games, so that's cost them more money, and they've also put their subscription fee up effective next month. So they're obviously, you know, needing ways to pay for that, but I just hope one of the ways that they don't pay for it is by, you know, using the funds that they would have paid for Serie A, because someone's got to pick that up, and I don't think it'll be Sky, so fingers crossed that we aren't getting a total kind of TV blackout, because I cannot go back to dodgy bloody streams to watch Napoli games. Not again. But the goalkeeping crisis looks as if it's coming to an end, and what we are doing is quite cruelly passing our crisis on to another club by taking not one but two of their goalkeepers.
Yeah, we're just finally hand Udinese a goalkeeper crisis. Yeah, you know, this is one another move that's been materializing over a period of time here that we've been, I think maybe we first heard Alex Medet's name last season, or maybe the end of this, you know, the end of, not the season that just passed, but the season before, the 16-17 season, when we were looking potentially for an heir to Pepe Reina, and Alex Medet and Cranio from Cagliari were the two names that kept popping up and kept popping up and kept popping up. And then this offseason, he came up pretty much straight away, and it's, you know, he took his medical today and he's ready to go. And, you know, we posted something on the website a couple weeks ago. Massimo put a really nice little player profile together on Alex Medet, which is really good. Frank, I think, shared a video playlist on his personal account of the matches that that Medet started last year. So, you know, this is an investment move. You know, he's going to be thrown in as the, you know, your favorite to be the number one goalkeeper this year, especially at the 25 million euro price tag seems to be the deal. With, I think, Karnetsis coming in, you know, at like 3 or 4. I think it ends up being right around 30 million for two goalkeepers, which I think at the end of the day, Karnetsis is a solid keeper as it is. So I think it's nice to have someone who can be a little bit of a security blanket for a young keeper who, you know, is going to maybe be not expected, but you'd think at some point he's going to make a mistake and, you know, his confidence might just dip a little bit. And it's good to have that extra person there just to be able to sort of relieve some of that. But I thought Medet played pretty good with Spal last year. I thought Gomez was good as well. Spal, I think, was one of the surprise teams last year. I think everyone pretty much had them pegged to go right back down. He had 4 clean sheets, 49 saves in 13 games started, which seems like an awful lot. Seems like an awful lot of saves in 13 games. And he saved 2 penalties as well. So, you know, he's one of these guys that all of the Italian pundits speak very, very highly of this youngster. So, I mean, and we're obviously ready to invest largely into the future with him. So, you know, goalkeepers are a weird commodity. You know, sometimes the team in front of them can dictate how good you are, and I think Pepe Reina was a little bit of a benefactor of that the last couple seasons. So, you know, we're going to have a solid defense in front of him. Koulibaly, I would imagine 95 to 99% is staying, and Albiol just signed a contract extension. So we're not going to see too much changes in the back line. So I'd imagine that Medet's going to be given a pretty good opportunity to succeed here. So it's a sort of a wait and see, but I think that in the long run that he has the opportunity to really, you know, make dividends on the fee, even at 25 million. I think he has the potential to be one of the best goalkeepers on the peninsula.
I did laugh though. You mentioned Pepe Reina, and I did see I don't know if it was AC Milan's account or whether it was another Calcio account, and they tagged AC Milan in it. But it was, you know, like, welcome to Milan, Pepe Reina. You know, and there was some statistics about his clean sheets, and I just quoted it and went, it's also known as the Koulibaly effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, just kind of touch what you said there. You know, it's benefit, you know, benefiting from the fact he's got a solid defence in front of him, because Pepe Reina's, you know, save average isn't that great. You know, but it's, if you look at the guys in front of him, then, you know, that's the reason why you're getting clean sheets, mate. It's because no one's getting near you.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But no, I mean, Moret, I think, is a player who one of our community favourites, a Zuri fan, Phil, has been screaming for Moret for 2 years. So it looks as if he's finally going to get his wish. Well done, Phil.
You did it. Phil, you did it. You brought Alex Meret to Napoli. Thank you.
There we go. But no, it's a good deal to get two goalkeepers for 30 million. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about the fact that Perrin, you know, went to Juve for 15, and why didn't we take that option?
Don't know if that offer was even, you know, we talked about it before about we didn't know if he was going to be good enough handling the ball, but we also don't know if that number was available to us. You know, teams play for offers, and, you know, Genoa, just like every other team in Serie A, knew that we needed a goalkeeper. So the price for us to pet in could have been 50 million. We just don't know, you know, what the chatter was back and forth, if any. And, you know, every team in the world knew that we needed a goalkeeper. You know, I see the young French goalkeeper Lafont go to Fiorentina for 10 million, and I'm like, yo, what's up with that? But this is the way the market works. If you're in demand of something and you don't have it, then you're going to be forced to pay more for it. It's just the way that it works. You know, it's we are to blame for not taking care of this last year, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard not to be excited about a goalkeeper like Meret.
Well, we know why Juve got Perrin for 15. It's because they're having to save all their pennies for Ronaldo.
Oh, don't start. That dude, I mean, I know the chatter has been up on an upward trajectory, but I would still be pretty shocked if that move comes across.
Oh, I did panic a little bit when I seen DiMarzio's name mentioned beside one of the reports, and I'm like, no, Gianluca's talking about it.
Yeah, I mean,
don't let, the minute I see his name, I'm like, oh Christ, that puts credibility to it.
Well, right before Ronaldo's great decline, so it's cool.
See, right, and I know what you're kind of touching this too much, right? Because obviously Napoli podcast and whatnot, but see, if Juve want to spend 100 million euros plus 30 million euros a year for 4 years for a 33-year-old, yes, Ronaldo is Ronaldo. He'll make the money on marketing and all that. But hey, Father Time catches us all. And that's not a hate on Ronaldo. Everyone knows, or people that know me know that I'm a Ronaldo guy. You know, I think he's, for me, he's the best player of this generation. Best all-round player, an absolute machine. Love watching him for Real Madrid. But, you know, at the end of the day, the guy will be 34 years old. As great as he has kept himself, you know, the burst of pace, the quickness of the feet, eventually it does start to decline. And I just think, you know, paying a fee, you know, which is pretty much around about what he signed for Madrid for way back. Yep. You know, I think if that was anybody else, it wouldn't be good business. You know, normally whenever you see clubs bringing in 30, you know, mid-30s, you know, players. I mean, I remember never, for example, Rangers brought in David Weir as a defender way, way back. Like, you're talking about, what, 10 years ago now? 35 or 36 years old, and people were going off their heads, and that was a free transfer. Now, it turned out David Weir was a brilliant defender, an experienced head, and he did settle the defence, but that was a guy that came in for no fee, and there was supporters kicking up in arms. And I'm not comparing David Weir to Cristiano Ronaldo, but it's just the fact that because it is Ronaldo, it seems to be accepted that 100 million is just an acceptable fee. I don't get this, the correlation of why you would pay, you know, Real Madrid essentially what they paid for him all those years ago from Man U. It just seems bizarre. But, you know, if it happens, it happens. The profile of the league will certainly be raised.
Sure.
You know, that's one aspect of it. There'll be a lot of eyes on the league that maybe wouldn't have been before.
And then when we beat them next year, it'll be all that much sweeter.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I say, Father Time catches us all. So if Juve want to spend that kind of money on someone at that age, then, you know, batter in. For all the positives, you know, you can't cheat time, so batter in, guys. But anyway, we'll move on to the kind of the final segment, which was, of course, the Ask Sempre special. We've kept you waiting a wee while for this. Kenny's kindly collated all the questions. We'll go through them all. We've got them broken up into kind of categories here. We've got season, coaching / tactics, Mercato, and then kind of any other random ones. And there's a very specific question for Kenny here, which whenever we got it, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. So we'll get to that one. So the season one, and I believe this was P Scala 11. If Napoli don't win the league but make it to at least the Champions League quarterfinals, how would you rate the season?
For me, I mean, I think anytime you make a run that deep in the Champions League, you have to be thinking about successful seasons, right? I think Roma, you know, they qualified for Champions League this season. They went to the semifinal last season. And we were all saying if we had known we were going to finish second this whole time, we would have rather had that scenario. So I'm just going to double down on that. Yeah, if we go to the quarterfinals or more, I'm going to say that's a pretty successful season for the club, considering new manager and the rest of it. Regardless of the fact that it's Carlo Ancelotti, I think anytime a new manager comes in, if you can come in and make a run to the – I mean, it would be our best run in the Champions League in the modern era. So I think that's a pretty good way to start your tenure.
Yeah, I agree 100%. What you said there, Kenny, about the European run, I think Roma's monumental night against Barcelona, I think, maybe had us all a wee bit jealous, although don't want to admit you're kind of jealous of Roma, but, you know, nights like that, we've sampled, you know, one ourselves last season, although we didn't go through, or not last season, the year before, with Real Madrid, you know, the kind of glamour around that tie. And to miss out on that was a bit of a bummer, and to see the club not take the Champions League quite as seriously, with the whole Scudetto pact and whatnot. But I'm hoping we... I mean, can we beat the 91 points that Sarri got last year under Ancelotti? You know, will Juve be quite as consistent this year? They've lost a few players. We'll see if they replace guys like Lichtsteiner and Asamoah. You know, see what kind of outgoings they've got. Talking of Higuain possibly following, you know, Sarri to Chelsea. Morata might come back. So you just don't know what kind of shape they're going to be in. But I certainly wouldn't like to be talking about not winning the league. And I would think maybe having a coach like Ancelotti, a guy who knows how to juggle a squad, who knows how to kind of, you know, manage on multiple fronts, that we might see a sustained league challenge and at least, you know, progression from the group stages of the Champions League next season. And the second part of that question there is, what should Napoli's goals be for next season? Well, for me, it's quite simple. It's become champions.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit torn on this one. I think, you know, that's the ultimate goal. I think the expectations should be, you know, similar to what they are most years. And Ancelotti coming in, first year, new manager. I think I would be not disappointed if we did... if we qualified for Champions League next year and made a run to the quarterfinals or more. And then I think the goal for every good team, though, should be to win the championship. So I guess that's sort of where my little bit of a two-pronged answer. But I think I would be satisfied if we made a long run in the Champions League and qualified again in the following season. But obviously I think our goal as a club should, as always, be to win the title.
Mm-hmm. Frankie Four Fingers, what a name. That's a brilliant name.
Yeah,
he's got a film.
He's got some repeats coming further down the line here too, but yeah.
Yeah. He says, what formation would you like to see from Ancelotti? Do we stick with the 4-3-3 or experiment and see what other formation suits us? I think, is it not well known that Ancelotti has maybe 2 to 3 formations that he likes to, you know, revert to, but he kind of prefers this, what they call the Christmas tree formation.
Yeah, that's been his sort of his most famous, is when he was at Milan. You know, he had that Christmas tree formation. I think later in his career, as he's gone on to at Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, he's sort of done some 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 with some 4-3-2-1 as well. So, I mean, I think we're going to see, I think if I'm just looking at, you know, the squad in front of me and the sort of flexibility, I think we're going to go 4-2-3-1. That's just what I'm seeing. I think you have one striker in Milik, You have three really good attacking players behind him. You have Insigne, Mertens, or someone else, and, you know, Verdi or Callejon or someone else on the right. And I think that's sort of the way it makes the most sense, is to utilize your attacking assets in that kind of way. So 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, but 4-3-2-1 or 4, you know, could also be in play. Who knows? I mean, it's, you know, Carlo sort of lives on that flexibility, and I think it's going to be more than a one-trick pony, unlike it's been the last couple seasons. That I'll say for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of leads in nicely to the next question, which is part of this, which is Jay Cassano. And he says, will Ancelotti finally give Diawara the playing time he deserves? Now, you just mentioned there this 4-2-3-1, you know, the one being Milik, the three behind, you know, most likely being a variation of what used to be Sarri's front three. You know, so you'd have Insigne, probably Callejon / Verdi on the right, and maybe Mertens as a kind of central point in there, which leaves two in midfield. Now, Marek Hamsik is, by all accounts, going to stay. We've got Alan, who was sensational last season. We've just dropped 30 million on Fabian Ruiz. You've got Marco Rog, and then, of course, you've got Diawara. So, you know, an abundance of midfielders. Yeah. But
and Zielinski as well.
And you know, well, the kind of crown jewel last season, really. Yeah. You know, yeah. So what two are going to be, you know, fighting for those kind of starting midfield spots?
Yeah, I think. I mean, what I want to say is that Diawara will get more playing time than he did last season, but that's not really saying too much. You know, it's got to be a wait and see type of situation. Yeah, we have a glut of high quality midfielders. It's almost too much, actually, when you break it down. You know, I think we have, you know, six or, you know, seven, you know, guys who could all slot in there. So if you go 4-3-3, you know, you're going to have to omit one of your attacking players, whether it's Mertens or, you know, Milik or whomever that person is. And then if you go 4-2-3-1, you know, you're going to have to make that same sacrifice in the midfield. I think with a 4-2-3-1, though, you usually go for, you know, a guy who is a little bit more of a box-to-box guy and a guy who's a little bit more of a holder. So, you know, I do think Diawara will play more, though. I think it's time for him to play. You know, we have all these young midfielders, too. It's just crazy to think about. You know, with Fabian Ruiz coming in for Jorginho, we get even younger in midfield. It's a good problem to have, to have that kind of quality depth.
Well, that's one thing that was spoken about last season. A lot of people said that, well, we did have depth, we didn't have quality in depth. Well, I think looking at that midfield, you know, with, okay, Jorginho's going out, Ruiz coming in, but whenever you look at that potential formation of Ancelotti's with those two midfielders, I mean, you mentioned a holder and a kind of dynamic box-to-box. Well, your holder, I mean, I suppose Alan would fit in both of those because he can sit and win the ball. But as we've seen last season, he evolved into this rampaging monster. Yeah. You know, you know, bursting into the box, 1-2s, scoring a lot of goals as well. So, as you say, it's a good problem to have. We're not going to complain about having too much talent in a squad. It's just the fact that now I'm a little more comfortable with it, the fact that we've got a manager who isn't afraid to actually rotate and, you know, change things up and mix things up. And he doesn't just have a plan B, but, you know, Carlo's probably one of these guys that'll have a plan C, D and E, you know, if he needs to. So we'll see how it pans out. But Mercato question. So Sempre_Napoli. Are you trying to steal our name?
We're watching you.
He asked, how good is Fabian Ruiz? What have you seen of him? You know, Kenny answered that question fantastically earlier on when we did speak about him. A kind of miniature Napoli stats segment there. We've got Joel Cantone, which is, he says, why are we trying to buy or be linked with pretty much all midfielders? Do you think we will sign more defenders and more attacking players? I think the one name that keeps coming up in terms of defence is Simi Vrsaljko. That name keeps kind of cropping up.
That won't
up.
Go away, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another one that just kind of keeps cropping up. Again, we've covered him before on the show quite extensively last season. Plays at left back, but has played most of his career at right back, so he is quite versatile, can fill both positions. With Ngulam potentially, you know, still being injured.
Oh, the saga with Ghulam. It's such a shame. Yeah, but
unreal. So we do need cover in the fullback positions. You know, we've lost Maggio to retirement, so we are very thin on the ground. I do think we do need to strengthen the fullback here. As goalkeepers, we've touched on attacking players. We've got, you know, Chicharetti's going back out the way on loan. There's no word on what's happening with Roberto Inglese, whether he's going to, you know, obviously, he going to come in, or is he going out on loan? Or
yeah, he was called to retreat, so I think they want to take a look and see. I think, you know, personally, I think Inglese is a guy who has value coming off the bench. I really do, but sorry to interrupt. But yeah, that was I think Inglese is going to come in. I think he's going to stay. That's just a little prediction. I think Inglese stays with the club this year.
Mm-hmm. And if he does, you add the fact that Simone Verdi has also joined, and that's another, you know, attacking midfielder, you know, set pieces with either foot, you know, long range, you know, good striker of the ball from long range as well. So attacking wise, you know, if Arik Milik stays fit, I still stand by my prediction that that's next season's Capocannoniere. If he stays fit, I just think Arik
dynamic forward. Yep. I think I do, however, and this is a little bit influenced by these weird gifts that and emojis that Carlo Alvino has been posting this evening. I think the club have something up their sleeve, and I think, if my gut is right, that it will be an attacking player. And this is not really based on anything substantial. This is just sort of
Cavani.
I think I want it to be Cavani, but I think that if the rumors are right, we may end up with Karim Benzema, which I have my own personal opinions on, but that would still be a huge signing either way. But attacking players, I don't think we need any more, but I think that there is or Balotelli. I'd love to have Balotelli come in, but yeah, I don't know. Attacking player is a question mark. We don't need one, but I think we might get one. And defenders, I think we have to sign a fullback, at least one, maybe two, depending on how healthy Ghulam is. And there's been rumblings about Hisai potentially joining Maurizio Sarri, but maybe they'll only be able to make conjugal visits in prison since he's a prisoner.
Visitation rights.
Yes, that's right. But yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. I think maybe attacker, and we should hopefully see some defenders come in.
Well, I mean, for the listeners that haven't seen Carlo Alvino's tweets, I mean, just literally minutes before we hit the record button on this episode, he just put one of those, is it GIF or GIF, the age-old argument about how you pronounce that.
It's GIF.
I call it a GIF as well, right? Whatever. It was one of The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, as he prefers to be known by his real name now. And I think it was from that program, Ballers, and he's just making the shush gesture. Yeah, and that's all it is. And that's all he's put up. There's no words, there's no hashtags. It's just these kind of very cryptic GIFs that he's putting out.
Yeah, he also put, right before those ones, he put just like a bunch of bombs. A bunch of bomb emojis, and then just like a guy like putting his hands on his face and like mouthing like whoa. So like I said, this is based on nothing, and he's probably just trolling, but it's just weird.
Carlo, come on, you followers, don't do that.
Come on, give us the info, dude. What do you got?
Give us a scoop, come on. I mean, we've seen the stories about, you know, the fact that, and I think it was quite cute that Juve fans did think they stood a chance with Cavani. The man has said time and time and time again, if he ever comes back to Italy, he will only come back to Napoli. So I think he's a player who hasn't been given the respect that he deserves in France. I think when, you know, Ibrahimovic left, I think he thought he would step up and be the main man. It's not went that way. And when, you know, Neymar's came in, we've seen the spats between him and Neymar over penalties and free kicks. I just think, you know, he's been there 5 years. He's won, you know, the league, I think, pretty much every year that he's been there. No, in fact, he lost it to Monaco the year before last. You know, but he's pretty much done everything domestically that he can do over there. So he's 31 years old. So come on, Eddie, come home.
That's right. Just do it.
Just do it. That's it. Come on. I did say to you, though, I said to you in our private chat, I said, I don't think that the marquee signing is Ancelotti. I think there's a marquee managerial signing, and I think that ADL will want his marquee player to go alongside it.
Oh yeah, he's done this with most of the new managers coming in. You know, he's sort of given them their one big purchase. You know, when Rafa Benitez came in, you know, he gave him, you know, I mean, Higuain, for, you know, all the crap we give him and, you know, all that hatred inside, you know, when he came from Real Madrid along with Callejon and Albiol, and we had like a little mini raid on the bench of Real Madrid, everybody was super excited, and it turned out to be a very, you know, a very good couple signings for us. So I think Carlo's going to get his one big chance at using some of the, you know, apparently bajillions of coins that ADL sits on all the time as a friend is never going to spend. So
the proverbial Scrooge McDuck.
Yes.
Doesn't spend any money.
Well, Aurelio McDuck.
Aurelio McDuck. Oh, Jesus. Here we go. Let's see if that one sticks. Another question there, Frankie Four Fingers. He said, if we sell Jorginho, where do we reinvest that money? We've already spoken about that. It is going to primarily go to Fabian Ruiz. In fact, the Jorginho money is pretty much paying for Ruiz and the two goalkeepers. So, yep. You know, great business there. And then we'll move on to the final question. And this is directly at Kenny here. And I believe this came from our newest member, Kirsten, before we actually brought her on board. She said, please have Kenny answer the question of what beer pairs best with a Napoli match. And she says she is completely serious here. And can it even be in parts, as in what beer would you have for a tense match and what beer would you have for a match that should be easily won?
Man.
So over to you, mate.
I know, this is such a great question, and I've been thinking about it since she submitted it weeks ago, and I still don't have the best answer, but I'm trying to make this applicable to as many people as I can, but I'm just going to end up making it applicable to what's around me. But for a tense match, and if you're me, you'll probably end up drinking a bunch more beers, you're going to be nervous, and you're just going to continue to drink. So you probably just want like a nice, crisp, easy-drinking lager, low alcohol, so you can just chuck a few back and get nervous and get a steady buzz going on. And then for a beer that you should easily win, I think you can go crazy. You can have like a nice 7.5-8.5% IPA or double IPA and just kick back and watch the boys take a big win. Yeah, that's the beer question as far as I'm concerned. Lager for or easier drinking lower alcohol beer for the tense matches, and then get those IPAs out for the easy ones and just enjoy the ride.
And you come to Glasgow and we just drink whatever we get our hands on and get pissed regardless. Welcome to Scotland. But anyway, we'll finish off with a little bit of news. Now, if you follow us on Twitter, you will have seen this, but I do appreciate that not everybody who listens to the show is on Twitter. So we have launched our Patreon page on there. So there's a video on the website. It is patreon.com/SempreSSCNapoli. I'll just kind of try and summarise the video. It's about 4 or 5 minutes, and I can explain in more detail. And the video is on there. You can check that out. But it's something that we've, you know, considered doing for a while, but wanted to make sure that the reason for doing it was correct in our eyes. Patreon, I know a lot of content creators use it to, you know, bring in income from their content, but that's not the idea for us. What we thought would be the best way to run it would be to have the Patreon as more of a giving back to the community. So, you know, the idea would be that if we were to raise $100, we would be able to use that to fund a mobile app, which would have, you know, all the episodes and all the kind of articles from our website all in one place, an actual dedicated Sempre app available on the App Store on your device, just to try and encompass everything into the one place. But then obviously, you know, Patreon is a monthly thing. So we have locked it at, you know, 20 patrons for now. There's one tier now. A lot of these Patreon pages do multiple tiers. You know, you donate $2 a month and you'll get a cap after 6 months, or you donate $5 and you'll get a mug and a t-shirt after 6 months. And we thought, we don't want anybody to be paying more to get more from us. The idea was that every single penny that's raised will go back into the community. There will be draws basically made for the patrons. For example, we could do it that there'll be a draw for the newest Napoli home kit with a player name and number of your choice on there, and basically all the patrons' names go in a hat, we draw it out, and what we do is we use the funds gathered from the community to go onto the Napoli website, buy that shirt, order that printing, and fire it off to you. And obviously everybody's in with a chance of doing that, if they are a patron. So that kind of thing. But I mean, who knows where it could go if it expands. It could be a case of match tickets or, you know, just other merchandise. It's just the sky's the limit in terms of what is possible, but that's kind of lofty expectations. We are just at the kind of start of this, and there is no obligation, there is no begging bowl, there is no expectation that you guys are going to start flinging money at us. The podcast will never be hidden behind a paywall. There will be no exclusive, you know, episodes recorded for patrons only. The show will always remain free, always on iTunes and Podbean and Google Play, and we are now on Spotify as well, in the UK and the US and Canada. So, you know, don't ever think that we're going to start locking Sempre behind any kind of paywall. That certainly won't happen. So I said I would make it quick, but I think I've probably just said everything that's in the video. But hey, if you want to see my wee happy face tell you, then you can still go over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/SempreSSC Napoli. Everything is on there. So who knows when we will be back. Who might be back this bloody weekend if Carlo Alvino's cryptic tweets turn out that it's a massive name that, you know, comes in behind Ancelotti, and we have to come on and discuss that. So this has been the third Summer of Sempre episode. Thanks very much once again for joining us. Until next time, guys, take care, and remember, be nice. Forza Napoli.
Sempre. Ale, ale, ale. Ale, Napoli, ale.